Can you hear me now? You can hear me? Some of you can hear me? Okay, very good. Back in the back, yes, I see that hand. Yes, I'm glad that you can hear me. Yes, top of the morning to each and every one of you. It's good to see you. I know if you looked in your bulletin, it would say that the message is from Mark Arbic today. Mark is under the weather. And so congestion, the lung thing, everything is going on. And I know Mark would want me to say hi to each one of you. So hello from Pastor Mark Arbic. And we can expect Mark here in the near future to come back and to preach. Okay. But apparently today I'm the JV squad. And I won't mention any names, yes. So let me do this. Oh, for those of you that haven't met me, my name is Missionary Rob McDowell, missionary within faith, and have been for 38 years or something like that. And so I knew you guys when you were young. Past tense, we're young. Yes, past tense. You know, in Bible college, when you go to learn how to preach, that's what they tell you to do is please insult the people before you preach. It really allows them to dial in what you want to say. So yeah, please insult the people. And you guys know me well enough that I love to torment. And my biggest problem is not tormenting too much. And that's why in the course of any sermon, maybe in the past you've heard this, my lovely bride, you might hear her delicate voice say, focus, is that filter. So if you hear a feminine voice say filter, that's for me, instruction for me to bring it back. And so anyway, it's my honor to be here. I have one of the, I'll be preaching from Genesis chapter 22. And in the Old Testament, other than Psalms 23, this is my favorite chapter, at least the first half of this chapter. I love this. This is so full of truth. It is amazing. And I love all of God's word, but and every time I read this passage, there's just more truth that pops out of me, pops into my mind. And so I guess what I'm saying is this is a multiple sermon series. How many? Two for sure. Maybe there's more. We'll see how it transpires over time. So this is the first installment on this. And you know I love to give a title and a concept to what I'm preaching. So the title is this: Our Wonderful, Creatively Sovereign God. So again, the title is Our Wonderful, Creatively Sovereign God. And the concept of this is this: the beautiful portraits from the Old Testament that God intends to verify and communicate truth in the New Testament. To verify and to communicate truth in the New Testament. You'll understand more, and maybe you're on to where I'm going with this so far. But I love this passage of Scripture. I remember a few years ago studying through this, and I'd never seen this before in this passage. I don't know if you're like I am when you say, well, I'm going to read through the Old Testament, I'm going to read through Genesis. You kind of, if you're like me, you go, okay, I need to read X amount, a chapter, two, three a day, whatever it is. And that kind of becomes your goal. And if you're like me, I miss what God's trying to communicate many times. And so I rarely do the three chapter a day thing anymore. My mind doesn't work that quick. And so I just sit and see what God's trying to communicate. And this is one of those passages here a few years ago when I saw this. I actually had tears in my eyes as I saw the beautiful truths in this passage come out of this. And that's why, other than Psalms 23, Genesis chapter 22 is my favorite chapter in the Old Testament. So let me do this. I'm going to read this passage, and then I'm going to pray, ask the Lord's blessing on this. Let me do this. Let me read. So it's Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And it's the testing of Abraham. God's word says this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son, Abraham." Do you see the beautiful relationship that they have? Isn't that sweet? So he looked up to Father Abraham. "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here, Isaac, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for the gift of your word. You didn't have to give us your word. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful display of your love that you choose to communicate with us. We praise you for that, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord, please help us to hear what you have for us today, Lord. Would you do that, Lord? Help all the craziness of things going on, etc., life, the craziness of life, craziness of the past month, the craziness coming of the coming month, coming week. And Heavenly Father, would you please protect each one of us? Lord, would you do that? We need that. Would you protect each one of us so that we don't miss what you intend for us to hear from you this morning, Lord? Heavenly Father, you're lovable. And Heavenly Father, I know that this scripture is so beautiful that if we're allowed the privilege, if we allow ourselves to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, we will fall that much more in love with you, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that for my friends here, your sheep. I pray that for myself here too. Would you do that, Lord? Heavenly Father, empower me to preach, Lord. Heavenly Father, would you please do this in my wandering mind this morning? Would you please just help me to focus up to, as an act of love to you, respect of you, a love of your children here, my brothers and sisters, Lord. We pray for this now, Lord, in your son's sweet name. Amen. Okay, very good. Yes, so The title of this sermon, again, is this, Our Wonderful, Creatively Sovereign God. You're going, well, where's Rob, Missionary Rob, going to go with that? And again, the concept, the beautiful portraits from the Old Testament that God intends to verify and communicate New Testament truth. That's great. I love the wonderful, creatively sovereignty of God. And every day when Cindy and I get up, I've probably mentioned this before, Cindy and I get up, we go shower, do our hair, brush our teeth, etc. And then depends on how late we are. If we're going on time, we'll sit on the bed, hold hands, and I'll pray for Cindy. She'll pray for me. If we're running a little late, like we were this morning, it'll be, even though I live a mile from here, it'll be on the 1 mile drive it is from my house to here. And we pray for each other. And one of the prayer requests, you know, it's not a long prayer. Just, hey, your day is this. Lord, bless my wife's day, etc. And I always pray, Lord, please use my wife today. What a privilege it is to be used of God. I love Jesus. I love being used by Jesus. I've asked Jesus numerous times. I've begged him. I said, Heavenly Father, please do not remove me from ministry, a full-time ministry as I'm in, or even otherwise ministry. Help me till my dying day to serve you. That's how important it is for me to serve Jesus. I love it. I love it. I know I have unsaved friends that scratch their heads. They go, Rob, you're all tired and wore out, right? The bags, you see the bags under my eyes? That was your time to torment me. So there it was. And he keeps telling me, Rob, you need to retire. You need to retire. And I'm getting older. I'm getting worn out. But I don't want to stop serving Jesus. This is my joy in life to do this. And we pray, Cindy and I pray every morning. Lord, please, and she'll pray for me. Oh, Lord, please use Rob. Today, and one of the ways, all the aspects of ministry I love, one of the ways I really love is when there's an opportunity that obviously is totally unplanned and God places in front of you, wherever you're at, an opportunity. Now, I have a long sleeve tee. I've got flannel. Thank you for allowing me to preach in flannel. I feel like officially Stevens County now. And I was going somewhere with that. But yes. And I love those occasions when I'm out and about and it's like the Holy Spirit, nothing audible, but it's like, Rob, that person, whatever it may be. I'll give you three examples. And these examples are very recent examples in the last couple of weeks. These are just the last couple of weeks. This happens all the time. I praise the Lord for it. I encourage you to be praying for this for yourself. Lord, as Missionary Rob does, would you give me opportunity? The Lord wants to use you. You don't have to be some massive theologian. You don't have to have your Bible memorized. You have to be willing. Just like Abraham, he said, God called out to him, and he goes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. And if that's intimidating, that's all right. If you bumble, if you make a mess of it, hey, that sounds like me. But I love serving Jesus. So, okay, this week. Random, sovereign, mysterious, wonderful, creative works of God. And so, let's see. 2 weeks ago, I ordered, you might be surprised. You might be surprised. Got on internet with my wife's help because I'm incompetent at that. And I'm afraid I might accidentally buy a yak or something. You know, what am I going to do with a yak? And you might be surprised. Bought some fishing lures. I'm glad you're all sitting down. Okay? I'm glad you're all sitting down. Some of you are probably a little lightheaded. Rob's buying fishing lures. I got new information on like a phenomenal fishing lure that catches massive fish. And that's all I have to hear. When I hear that, my wallet just automatically comes out my wallet, out of my pocket, right? Amen? I'm not feeling the love. So anyway, I purchased these lures, and I took my wife Tuesday. I hadn't taken my wife on a date for a while. So I looked at my wife and I said, "Cindy, I'd like to take you on a date." And of course, she was overwhelmed with my romantic and charm. And I said, "Cindy, I'd like to take you on a date and go fishing." That was Tuesday. What was it? 4 degrees that night and 22 during the day. And Cindy, you know, the McDowell charm. She was overcome, and she says, "Yeah, I would like you to take me on a date fishing in your boat out on the water at Lake Roosevelt." So I put on that lure. Now, this is no fish story, you know, false fish story. This is true. I don't know why I just salivated, but I did just salivate. Lake Roosevelt, put that on, and boom. Cindy hammers the first one was a 5-pound native rainbow. Just gorgeous male rainbow, absolutely beautiful. Natives have to go back, put that. Then bang, Cindy pops another one, a 4-pound native rainbow. And then bang, Cindy hits another one, and it's a Chinook salmon. There's Chinook salmon out here now too, on this lure. Then we go to another fishing spot on the water. Bang, she hits a 6-pound native rainbow. "Do you want one of these fishing lures?" Yes, you do. You're all coveting now, aren't you? Anyway, ordered these lures. They came the Friday, 9 days ago. And the driver, unfortunately, when he delivered them, he didn't knock on the door or anything. You know how sometimes the driver will just come in and or just leave your package and go. And that's what this gentleman did. And so the next morning, I'm going, "Hey, we were supposed to get my lures." Cindy looks outside, and what the driver did, he didn't pull in our driveway where the mailbox and the address is. He pulled in our front yard. So where I have my sprinkler system, so he pulls in the front yard. We didn't see it till the next, you know, turns around in my front yard, then leaves. And, Cindy delicately called them, you texted, right, and say, "Hey, your driver just drove over our sprinkler system." So anyway, I'm making a long story. It's a fish story, so I'm justifiable in doing this. And Friday, the gentleman, the boss called and he says, "Hey, I saw your email, this, and would like to come talk to you, come out and talk to you." He's from Spokane Valley. I says, "Well, if you want to." And so I says, "Yeah, okay, let's do that." And he was going to bring the driver, himself and the driver. So I thought, you know, little nudge from the Holy Spirit, "Rob, I'm bringing two people to you." "Okay, Lord, okay." And so the driver didn't come. It was just the boss guy. We had a nice chat, et cetera. They said they'd make it right, et cetera, all of that kind of thing. But, and maybe I've shown you this before, but I buy these by the case. This is a New Testament Bible. And this Bible, about every 30 pages, it has what is called big questions. And so it answers those big questions. Like, for instance, right here, what happens to those who have never heard the gospel? Hey, that's a great question. Oh, how about this? And this is one I'll often open this up to this one and show the people. Here's the big question. If God is so good, why do bad things happen to his people? Well, that piques their interest, and I go, "I'd like to give you this Bible." So that driver or that boss took one of these scriptures, and there's the plan of salvation in here too as well. So that boss took that, and I asked him before he left, I says, "Hey, can I pray for you?" I pray for him, his family, pray the gospel in the prayer, etc. So that was yesterday, right? Yes. So two more stories. I won't take as long with those. couple of weeks ago, I think 3 weeks ago, I was over, one of my friends is having a real tough time with diabetes. He's now a double leg amputee, and he was having physical training, physical therapy, excuse me, over at a hospital in Post Falls. And so I thought, okay, that day, if you're like I am, or like we are, we put a number of different, if we have to go to Spokane, right, you go, well, we can do this, this, and this, and this. So you're not making 95 trips to Spokane. And so that was my day. I thought, okay, I got to go here, got to do this, got to do that. And I thought, well, I need to go out and visit my friend Jay, double amputee. And so went out there, and when I walked in the hospital place over there at Post Falls, I put my Bible up on the countertop there with the admission nurse. And I says, hey, my name is Pastor Rob. I'd like to make a pastoral visit to my friend Jay. And okay, this, I had to sign forms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all this. And she looked at me, and she's probably 35, 38 years old, about the age of my kids. She looked at me, and she says, do you mind if I ask you a question? I went, okay, what do you think's going on now? Okay, I ask you, what do you think's going on? She says, can I ask you a question? And I says, by all means, ask a question. So she's attending two churches in the Post Falls area. One of the churches in Post Falls she goes to, unfortunately, doesn't preach the right gospel. They preach that you have to be baptized to be saved, and we know that's not scriptural. And so she was asking me, says, hey, what does scripture say about this? And so the Lord plopped this opportunity. She told me this. She says, a pastor, she says, I was praying for God to bring me someone to share with me what is the truth. So I gave her two names of pastors and churches in the area of Post Falls. So went and visited my buddy Jay, came out, and I gave her one of these Bibles too. And I carry these in my rigs. Both of my rigs have them. If I bump into somebody, here's a Bible. So on the way, coming home, it's dark. I'm on the freeway coming from Post Falls. And when you're coming from Post Falls and right before you get to Washington, you see something. Now it's dark, right? And there's a beautiful glowing light. And do you know what I'm talking about? On the right-hand side, right before you get to Washington, Cabela's. You guys got to get out more. As a pastor, you guys got to get out more, okay? Because it's dark. Great big sign, Cabela's. And I'm just going, yeah. Pull in, I buy my fishing license. And the weather is miserable. Snow, the slick stuff, winds howling through there. And buy my fishing license, come out, and I'm on that road that goes back to the freeway. It's 35 mile an hour, and I get to the first light. And I'm sitting there waiting for the light to turn. I'm the only one at the light, and I look in my rearview mirror, and here comes somebody. And I'm going, they're not going to be able to stop. I just held on, and pow, they rear-ended me. Right? And I know what you're all worried about. Was I towing my boat? Praise the Lord, I wasn't towing my boat. That would be tough. And so, kerplow, they rear-ended me. So I take an assessment of myself. Okay, am I damaged? And I thought, I need to go check on the people back behind. And I look at it, was a young, a girl, a 22, 23-year-old girl. And her boyfriend when she was driving. And so anyway, make a long story much shorter. We did the picture thing. I says, let's pull back over here. And I says, hey, while we're exchanging information, how about, she was in shorts. And then the wind was howling through there. And I says, hey, why don't you just hop in my pickup? The heat's on, etc. And long story short, guess what I did? I opened it up to that page that says, why do bad things happen to good people? And she was so cute. She says, that's very appropriate for what just happened. You know, she's crying, you know, a little cutie. And then I prayed for both of them. So anyway, I know it took a lot of time for the sermon. It took a lot of time on that. This is by way of a praise. We're giving glory to God on this. I encourage this for you. If you guys want to know where to get these, holler, okay? Holler. $3 a piece. We buy them by the case, and we can get those to you. I love being used by God. So that's a long ways to share our wonderful, creatively sovereign God, okay? So let me quote to you John 3:16. Most of us, if not all of us, have this memorized. John 3:16 states this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You gotta love that verse. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's take that verse, that was the NIV version, and let's put it into the Amplified translation of that verse. Okay, the Amplified translation states this, and I love how this is expanded, how it's amplified. "For God so greatly loved, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life." One of the things I've been praying for myself here, it's been a year and a half or something, I was reading through Matthew's Gospel and reading through the Lord's Prayer, which states this, "Our Father who art in heaven," what's the next word? "Hallowed. Hallowed be thy name." That's the King James version of that, hallowed. And when I was reading through that, I thought, okay, I've been a Christian, I'll be almost 64. March 11th is my birthday. I don't know if you were aware of this. Fishing lures make me happy. Anyway, I'm sorry I lost where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. I was reading through that a year and a half ago, two, whatever it's been. And it was like the Holy Spirit goes, "Rob, yeah, so I'll be 64. I've been saved 53 and a half years. I mean, that's a lot of travel time, right, with Jesus." And I read again the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's like the Holy Spirit's going, "Missionary Rob." Yeah, missionary Rob. I mean, nothing audible, just a conviction of heart. Rob, where are you at hallowing my name? Where are you at hallowing who I am? And I says, "Heavenly Father, I'm short on that. Even I've given my life to you. But I need to grow in that." So it's, "Heavenly Father, would you please do that?" And according to our Heavenly Father's love and care of each one of us, he's been growing me in that. For instance, verses like John 3:16 that we know inside, outside, have it memorized. If you don't have it memorized yet, I encourage you to memorize it. You'll never regret doing that. But so back to the Amplified of this. "For God, he who is hallowed..." You know, "for God greatly loved." I don't want to use the word, spoiled would be the wrong. We're so abundantly blessed. We hear about the Lord every day. We do our devotions. We listen to Christian music. And that's great. That's good. We should be doing those things. Do we tend to take God for granted? You know, God. The power of God. It was Jesus who spoke back in Genesis 1. It says, "Let there be the sun, the moon, the stars." It took place. So what kind of a being has that kind of awesome? Now I'm a preacher desperately trying to communicate these truths, and I don't know if you can to the point of which I would like to. Maybe that's the best way of saying that. For God, so really God did this? God, he who is all-powerful, he who is sovereign, he who is all-knowing, etc., etc., etc. For God, we're talking, right? I love going out at night and looking at the stars, right? It's like, oh, man, that is so cool. And the planets were at least visually aligned here a couple weeks ago. That was cool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God spoke, and that came into being. And it's this God that this takes place. For God, that God, our God, so greatly loved, what? Greatly loved and dearly prized the world. Now, wait a minute. He so dearly loved and prized? Really? Prized? How can a God of that kind of magnitude, glory, power, etc., how can he care for little bitty stinky me? And stinky you, stinky you, stinky you. It's a term of endearment, okay? So no text, no angry text, okay? We're all stinky together. Well, we are sheep, right? And sheep stink. Yes, there. I just justified with the Bible. So it's this. It's our God, this God, who dearly prizes the world. It's us, not the globe. It's us. God dearly prizes us? Mind blown. That he even, I mean, this is phenomenal, that he even gave up his only begotten unique son. This is God. I'm desperately trying to communicate, and I know we have human finite minds. Won't it be nice when we get to heaven and we'll have our glorified bodies? Oh, here comes the Jesus bumps. I'm preaching in flannel, and I'm getting Jesus bumps up here. Won't that be great? That the mud, the pale vision that we have is going to come off, and we're going to see. Yes, I'm so looking forward to this. God gave up his... He gave up his son. I mean, you're prized. I'm prized. Does that put worth on you? What does that do for your worth? Do you struggle with self-esteem issues, self-worth issues, etc.? Guess what? God esteems you. You are prized by God, his only begotten, unique son. So that whoever believes in, which is, this is sweet, if you're like I am, I always wonder, okay, yeah, believe, that's so simple though, right? That's so simple. Is that all there is to salvation, is to believe? Yes. Believes means this, trust in, cling to, relies on. Okay, relies on, and that's simple on our behalf. Like the thief on the cross, the one was shaking his angry hand, oh, what a mistake he was making. The other one was saying, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom, and Jesus gave. See, the simple act of faith, the simple act of trust, and that the thief on the cross that said, Lord, remember me. He's in heaven. You'll get to meet him, by the way. It's coming up. I shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. You and I will get to hang out in heaven forever. If that doesn't bring you joy, you get to hang out with me. Okay, yeah, I don't hear a praise the Lord. There should have been one right there. But I get to hang out with you. Won't that be nice? No more sickness, no more illness. The presence of Jesus, Jesus walking with us. Our loved ones that have gone on before us, etc., etc., etc. I'm ready. Okay. The verse states, and this is the most famous Bible verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world. Translation amplifies it, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. The world means us as a human race, you and I, each one of us. So firstly, that's to the who. You and I are the who. Secondly, we see God's motivation. For God so loved. God loves the world. That's not the globe, that's the human beings in it. God loves you and God loves me. A real good therapy for any one of us. I mean, do you struggle with the concept that God loves you? Or is your concept of God's loving you more of a veneer due to your personality, past history, etc., whatever? A great thing to do is to say this. For God so loved Robert that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever that Robert believes in him, Robert shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved Robert. Anybody else's mind blown? For God so, who am I? I mean, considering the entire cosmos, I am like a pond scum. You know, a little amoeba thing that you see swimming in the ponds that you go, oh, that's a tetanus shot waiting to happen right there. We see God's motivation, for God so loved. God loves the world. He loves you and I. It's Greek word agape, which is God's love, which is defined as this, and I love this definition for God's love. You might be wondering, Rob, do you remember Genesis 22? You wanted us to be in Genesis 22. Okay, it'll fit together, okay, eventually. Real love means this. I love this definition. Real love means an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. That's agape. That's God's love. For God so loved Robert. For God so loved you. That means God has an unconditional commitment to you, the imperfect person. I'm imperfect. Yes. God still loves me. He'll never love me any less. Even if I'm a turkey, you know, even if I do stupid sin, God still loves me, right? Thirdly, we see the act. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. God has the right to do anything he wants. But in his heart is love, and the act that he responds out of that love is he gave. He gives. Our God is a giving God. It means this, to bestow. It means this, it is a gift. It means to be given something that we don't deserve. We don't work for it. This verse could be fleshed out this way. This is how God loved us. He gave his son, his special beloved son. He gave. Then fourthly, the blessing, which is eternal life. This is heaven. The pearly gates, the presence of Jesus forever and forever. Another little tool that may help you. You know, that concept of, you know, we walk by faith now. And that's right, true. The day is coming when we shall walk by sight. We shall be there in heaven. One of the things that I remember years ago, I had an older missionary, old enough to be my dad type of thing, and I was expressing at a mission prayer time or something, some of the frustration that I was having in ministry, and afterwards he came up to me, and I'll never forget this. He's in glory. About a year ago, went to glory. He said this, he says, Rob, you know, in the midst of all the trials, headaches, etc., he says, Rob, you're on your way to heaven. And that's all he said. And I thought, oh, that's therapy. Yeah. So, guess what? Each one of you, you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way. It's just a matter of time. It's just a And so I encourage you, as a tool, you could say that to yourself. You know, for me, it'd be, hey, Rob, you're on your way to heaven. Rob, you're on your way to heaven. Maybe a sticky note on the mirror in the bathroom or on the refrigerator. Rob, you're on your way to heaven. It just, can you see what it does? It just pulls you out of the quagmire and gives you the vision that you need to have. Okay. Hold on here. Yes. The blessing is eternal life. The privilege of getting to heaven is a simple process theologically for us, praise the Lord. I love things that are simple. Okay? Jesus paid the price. He did the work on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. Our hearts might wrestle, you know, the flesh heart, our hearts might wrestle against the thought of asking Jesus to forgive us and to give us eternal life. I was on the phone with one of my friends. I've been praying for him to get saved for almost 50 years. He refuses. I've shared the gospel over and over and over. What he told me this week was this. He says, okay, Rob, when I'm laying in my bed, then he says, then I'm his. Okay? So when I'm, yeah, so ultimately when he's on his deathbed. So that's kind of rolling the dice to be kind of sketched there. There are some people who refuse to trust Jesus as their Savior, saying this, I refuse to believe in a God that sends people to hell. For sure, hell is real, and there are people we know that are there now, which breaks my heart. One of the hardest things I do as a pastor is to do funerals for people who have no hope that they are in heaven with Jesus. That torments me. Versus when you do a service for a Christian, it's so profoundly, for the unchristian, non-Christian, it's despair. For the Christian, it's a celebration. Yeah, there's grief there, right? You know, I've mentioned my dad, we hit the one, let's see, this is, yeah. So we hit the, 1 year, 1 month, and a couple days anniversary of my dad's passing. And had the honor to do the sermon for my dad's funeral, etc. And countless times, you know, I'll have a little wave of grief. It's like, oh, man. We had a family meeting, get together last night. My one sister came up from Southern California. And so we all gathered, etc. And I thought, we're missing. There's a hole here. That's my dad. But also, along with that, the Holy Spirit ministering to me, going, I mean, and this is not just some weird denial thing, some weird daydream thing. The Spirit of God going, your dad's in heaven in glory with me. And the day is coming when I get to see my dad again. So, yes. Okay, I'm almost done, okay? Are you guys up to a Bible college level of study? Boy, that's we're almost done. Let's have a theology class right now, okay? Said nobody ever. But let me do this. And we're almost done for the day here. Okay, are you ready for a Bible college level of study? I hope you are, because that's what I got planned for you today. Let's talk about, and I don't know if you've heard this term or not, okay? Maybe you have. Let's talk about biblical types. Biblical types. Okay, now you're going, what? Some of you might be. So we're not talking about different Bible translations. Okay, that's a whole different conversation. We're talking about biblical types. So we're not talking about biblical translations. So we're not talking about the different fonts. You know, you open it up, and I don't know what size font that is, and that's pretty small. The style of font, is it Old English, New English style font, et cetera, et cetera. So we're not talking about anything like that. But here is a simple definition of a biblical type. The Bible is full of Bible types. So here's a simple definition of a biblical type. It is an object lesson from Bible history past that looks forward to and teaches future Bible history. Let me state that again. It is an object lesson from Bible history past that looks forward to and teaches future Bible history. But in other words, it is an actual historic event that is a predictive picture of a future Bible historical event. Okay, simply put, a past person, event, or thing fashioned by God to resemble another person, another event, or another thing in future biblical history. They are amazing biblical truths and divine authorship declaring the authenticity of Scripture, the validity of Scripture, etc., etc. Biblical types. I'm just pausing for dramatic effect. Okay. About 3/4 of a page. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. This passage is one of my favorite passages. The other is Psalms 23, I mentioned that. Let's start with some context here to Genesis 22. Abraham lived in the year 1996 through 1822 BC, before Christ. So he walked the earth, he walked the earth almost 2,000 years ago before Jesus did. Abraham lived to a ripe old age of 175 years old. He is the father of the nation of Israel. His wife Sarah was unable to have children, which was devastating to Abraham and Sarah, especially in that culture. Sarah overheard a conversation between Abraham and the Lord, where the Lord told Abraham, "This time next year, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." At this point, Sarah laughed. And why did Sarah laugh, you say? In the year that Sarah birthed Isaac, Sarah was 90 years old. And Abraham was 100 years old. What are we waiting for? Keep reproducing. Okay, there's nobody here 90, right? Nobody here 90. I didn't say that you felt 90, but that you are 90. So here in the Bible, they were reproducing. Abraham's 100, Sarah's 90, okay? So let's get with it, people. That is a joke, by the way. Okay. Sarah died 37 years later at the age of 127, and Abraham outlived her by 28 years. I'm close. Here's another great question that lays down some important context for us this morning. How old was Isaac when his dad offered him up as a sacrifice? Most commentaries put Isaac's age at the upper teens to the young 20s. A strong young man. And this account, where we're at here, Genesis 22, took place in the year 1872 before Christ. Okay, and I close with this. Now remember what a biblical type is. It is an object lesson from Bible history past that God in his providence orchestrates future Bible history. Scripture is full of them. I encourage you as you look through the Old Testament and go, hey, what about this? What about that? And next time, we will dive into this and you will have a whole new appreciation. I love this passage. I love this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, would you please burn these truths into our hearts. Lord, help us to be in love with your word, to be intrigued with your word, to have a hallowedness to your word. We pray for this, Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray if there's somebody here that has not yet trusted your son, Jesus, as their Savior, and they want to, that right now in the quietness of their heart, they pray this prayer. Lord, knowing that it's not the prayer that saves, it's your son Jesus that does the saving. Prayer is simply communication. And there's somebody here that wants to pray this prayer, just in the quietness of your heart, pray this prayer. Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, I desperately need a Savior. Save me, Jesus. Save me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, being buried, and then 3 days later, rising from the dead. Give me eternal life, Lord. And Lord, grow me to keep loving you more as each day goes by. Heavenly Father, we pray for this, and bless us. Help us have a great week. Bring us back, Lord, and we give this to you now, Lord, in your son's sweet name. Amen. Thank you. So you got to call me back.